Oh, hallelujah. What a time. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Jamie, and all the boys and girls up here. Thank you all. Praise. And thank you for all that. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Second Corinthians, chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10, he's teaching concerning an offering. And there is a verse here, two of them that people miss concerning this, really. We've majored on and thought a lot about, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, he is referring to the grace in chapter 8. You abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and in your love for us or your love for the ministry. See to it that you abound in this grace also, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich. Now you go back over here with me, please. In the 9th chapter, the 10th and 11th and 12th verses, there's cause, there's purpose, and there's outcome here. Verse 9, as it is written, now he's quoting in verse 9 and referring to, in verse 10, 11, and 12, the 112th Psalm. He hath dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that, and I said this wrong for a long, long time, and finally the Lord, I guess he figured out I never was going to correct it, so he jumped on me about it. Well, he didn't jump on me about it, he was very sweet to me about it, but he was noisy about it. Well, he and I have a working agreement like that. He won't do you that way unless you invite him to. And I have a petition before him that's been there now for over 40 years, that any time I say any kind of unbelief out my mouth, any time I think unbelieving thoughts, you interrupt my thinking, you interrupt my speaking. I don't care if I'm speaking to somebody, preaching, or what I'm doing. You butt in on me and stop that. I will change it right now. And if you don't, I'm going to hold you responsible for it. He said, I'll do it. Oh, and he has, man, he's corrected me in the middle of stores. And I barked out at one of my children one night, and I was in a drugstore. He said, you repent for that. I said, yes, Lord, forgive me. I said, I'll tell you just as soon as we get it. No, he said, you didn't say it at home. You said it right here in this drugstore. Now, you call him back around here, and you get down there in his face, and you repent and ask him to forgive you. You said it in this store. You ask him to forgive you in this store. I said, yes, sir. Now, I walked around there and got John. I said, John, I need to apologize to you, son. Now, here I am, you know, down on my knees in front of a 5-year-old boy in a drugstore, man. And I said, John, that was wrong what I said to you. And I reminded him of it, and I told him why it was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. And I repented before God, and I said, now I'm asking you to forgive me, son. He jumped and grabbed me around the neck. I said, I forgive you, Daddy. Amen. Now, all of that has to do with what the Lord was dealing with me about. And he just stopped me. I said, well, you know, now the Lord provides bread for the eater and he provides seed for the sower and so forth. And the Lord said, that is not what I said. You didn't say you provide bread for the eater and seed for the sower? He said, no, I didn't. Well, I knew where it was. And I grabbed my Bible and I said, he ministers seed to the sower, ministers bread for the food, multiplies seed to the sower, increases refrigeration. I said, yeah, you did right there. No, he said, I didn't. He said, I minister it. That's what he says. Forgive me. He that ministers seed to the sower, ministers bread for your food. He didn't say anything about bread for the hungry or the poor. He said bread for your food. And both minister bread for your food and the multiplying of your seed sown and the he ministers the increasing of your fruits of your righteousness. He ministers it. He's the high priest. It's the same word translated priest. He's the high priest. We are kings and priests unto our God. When he blessed and broke the loaves and the fishes, he didn't pass them out. He ministered it through his ministry of his disciples. The miracles occurred in their hands. And it overflowed. Well, you don't think they passed out all that food and didn't eat any of it, do you? Sure they did. Fed them too. Now, here's the point. Here's what's so big about this. And this is the part that's been missed that I want to bring out to you tonight that the Lord asked me to bring out here. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Now, wait a minute. What has he just said? How is this bountifulness coming? Well, he's able to make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
But how does he intend to get it there? Through the hands of his ministers. That's you and me, the body of Christ. He ministers seed for the sower. When Gloria and I began, we didn't have any seed to sow. None. The day I became a partner with Oral Roberts and Oral Roberts Ministries, first time I ever heard that partnership message, I'll tell you, I got so high on that thing, I couldn't stand myself. I had to be a partner with Oral Roberts, but I didn't have anything. I signed up for $10 a month, and I didn't know where $10 was. No bank account. I was zero. And I stuck a little wooden pencil in that envelope and said, it represents my $10. There's a woman hollered at me before I could get away from there, and she said, the Lord been after her that whole service, give me $10. I said, ooh, lady, get it here. I chased the usher down, got the envelope, got my pencil, put it in my pocket, put my $10 in that envelope. When I got home, I said, Gloria, we're partners with Oral Roberts. She said, we are? I said, yeah, $10 a month. She said, where are we going to get $10? She didn't hear the message. So I set her down, got my Bible, and I preached it the best I could. And it must have worked, because, boy, she was all smiles when we got through. I'm telling you, the way God started ministering to us, see, I didn't have any seed, but I had a pencil. But he had the seed there for me all the time. She just hadn't had a chance to holler at me yet. Now, that minister of God ministered seed to me to sow. Then he began to minister the multiplying of my seed sown.
Oh, yeah.
It happened all different kinds of ways. I mean, people, the wind blew $20 up against a fence, and I pulled over to the side of the road and peeled it off, and the family went to eat. We didn't have money. I put all the money in the gas tank of the car to get where I was going to preach. The kids kept hollering, "When are we going to eat? Daddy, we're hungry." I said, "Any minute now." I didn't know what we were going to do. And we just drove in the edge of Oklahoma City right through Fast Food Alley, man. And they're hollering, "Wanting to eat." And, "Well, now, Daddy can't afford that right now." No. My seed was due to multiply. I'm learning. I don't know how to do these things. But there was a $20. I said, "Gloria, money." She said, "Where?" I said, "It just blew across the road." Then I swung over in the left lane and turning. The others is a divided highway. And went in the left lane. The signal light turned green. And I turned and made a U-turn there. And then got real slow. I'm looking for my money. I knew I saw it. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And there it was. The wind had blown it up against the cyclone fence. And, of course, the wind blew through that fence. And that $20 bill just stuck there. "When are we going to eat, Daddy?" "Right now." See, what's happening? He not only ministered seed to me to sow, but then he ministered the multiplying of the seed. And that's been happening ever since. Now, he's used us to minister seed to sowers. Then later, he's used us, he speaks to us and says, "I want you to multiply the seed they sowed." Now, it may not be somebody that we sowed the seed into, but I'm multiplying some seed they sowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what have we been doing here all week? Multiplying and increasing the fruits of our righteousness. The revelation from heaven. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things be added to you. Now, notice this. Don't leave this out. See, this is all part of it. For the administration, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. All bountifulness. Which, underline this. You've got to have this. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Wow. You become an instrument that God, in the hands of God, that brings thanksgiving to God. You sow into somebody's life, and I mean to tell you, it'll cut thanksgiving loose in people. People just shout and go to praising God. Well, I don't want any praise for it. I don't need my name all over your building. I'd just soon not. But I'll tell you, I love to hear you give thanks to God. Because I get in there with you and start thanking God. The more I thank God, the more grace flowing towards me to all bountifulness. What's happening? We're abounding together. Can you see how important that verse is? Causing thanksgiving to God. Oh, hallelujah. You help somebody in a time of need, in a time of trouble. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Oh, that's exciting stuff. Amen. We are over the budget. Whoa, wait. I know you're giving thanksgiving to God for that. Hang on a minute. We are over the budget $556,654. Now you see there what happened? That scripture manifested right there. You got all excited about it. You say, oh, dear Lord. Mama, Lord, they've done it again. Oh, no. Now, somebody may have, but not any of them didn't.
That proves that recession has no power over the church.
Proves that recession has no power over the church. Let me tell you. The total offerings were $1,227,000. And the $1 million offering hasn't even come in yet. Well, sure, it caused thanksgiving to us. But listen how it just exploded up in the inside of you and caused thanksgiving in you. And long as you'll stay thankful and grateful, and you're not looking for some kind of, you know, the scriptures, Jesus said, when you give alms, don't send a trumpeter out in front of you. Because you want everybody to know how you gave. No. It brings thanksgiving to God. He's the one that gave us the blessing, which is the power to get and receive wealth. And His righteousness endures. And His grace is so marvelous. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. So, well, Brother Copeland, or since we're that far over the budget, going to receive the offering tonight? Are you kidding? Absolutely so. Why? Because we over into TV bill time, and we over into, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Preaching money. Praise God. Now, as I said in the partner service this morning, we pay all the bills on all these things. We don't wait till offerings come in to pay them. And so all of this, I mean that whole thing goes into outreach. The whole $1,200,000 plus that came in here all goes into outreach because we already paid the bills on the thing. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Father, this is a praise offering tonight. This is a thanksgiving offering tonight. And Gloria and I and all of our staff here at KCF, oh, Father, we are so grateful to you. But all of us set ourselves in agreement together for the overwhelming, overflowing harvest coming to this congregation, coming to our partners, coming to these churches, coming to these ministries, coming to these businesses. Hallelujah. Praise God. All over the world. And coming speedily. Now. Overwhelming. Overflowing. Abundance. And overwhelming thanksgiving to God. I'm believing for 10,000 church mortgages to get paid off. I got really into what Jerry was preaching last night. And I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, I want you to understand. And this is really, God really dealt with me about this last night. He said, I want you to understand what I'm doing. He said, I am putting pressure on you, the godly kind of pressure. He said, I'm not going to let you quit. And then I think about what Jesse said this afternoon. He wouldn't let Jesse quit. What's he doing? Why is he doing this? The Lord said, I am pressing you to keep on. You keep on. You keep on until your faith grows up to the place where it begins to dig into exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask or think. Your spirit can get up to that place where your head can't even think it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you're not going to just blow up that one time. You walk in it, and you walk in it, and you increase. Man, we believe for things today that would have absolutely blown my hat in the creek back there years ago. I remember Brother Hagin saying, Billy, you remember this. He said back there in the early days that Sister Hagin said, now, we're going to do this, you know, in their little house and all. And she came in and she said, now, Kenneth, I need some curtains. He said, now, hold it. What? She said. He said, Oretha, my faith is loaded. And there ain't no room for them curtains. You remember that? He said, yeah. He said, you hang them curtains on my faith and it ain't going to hold up. Now, they'd been taught and trained that if you're going to preach the gospel, you got to be poor all your life. And God was having to teach and train and coax them and push them a little further and push them a little further and push them a little further. Why? There's so much more to be done. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Amen. It's going
to
take.
Let Billy tell exactly what he said to Oretha.
Okay. Can you talk while they can hear it over there?
Well, they had always rented, you know. And so they believed God and he was going to give them a house they were going to get to buy. And so he was believing God for the house, and he was believing for the furniture, and he was believing for this and that. And he said, she said, I need some drapes in this house. And he said, Oretha, it's like a clothesline. And he said, it's half there, and I've hung on the house, and I've hung on the down payment, and this and whatever. And he said, if I put those drapes on there, it's going to snap.
And there ain't faith enough here for them drapes. Now you hang on to them. Well, she eventually got them.
Yeah, she believed for them herself.
Now here we are believing for jets and all that kind of thing. And bless her heart, she's having to struggle to believe for this little house and the furniture and the drapes in it. They were under a lot of pressure. But they're the ones. They began to teach us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Oral and Evelyn Roberts. Oral was driving a car that was so bad, it reminded me of that clunker that Gloria and I had. And the government wasn't in a mind to pay us no $3,000 for it either. Dear Lord, we got $256 for it when we got with it. Well, Oral and his brakes failed, and he ran into the guy's car next door, banged up his car, and so he went over next door and contacted the man to let him know he's the one who damaged his car, and he wrote him a note first because he didn't get anybody, and told him he'd pay for the car. Well, the man contacted him. He said, how come you leave that note? He said, well, you know, I'm a Christian man, and I'm a minister of the gospel, and I have to do that. I will take care of your car. No, he said, no, huh? No. He said, actually, I'm in the car business. And he said, you, uh-uh. You're not going to have to do that. Well, this is right after World War II, and all during the war, you couldn't buy a car. There was several years there that civilian car purchases and a lot of other things, too, were frozen because it was going into the military. You could not buy a new car. And all prices were frozen. Wages were frozen. You couldn't go ask them to fill up your fuel tank. I don't care how much money you had, because you had a gas sticker on the windshield, and depending on what kind of job you were in, were you in a government job or, you know, whatever, a war job or something else, to whether you could buy either 2 gallons or 3 gallons or 5 gallons or whatever. Some of them were unlimited. Wasn't very many of those. A lot of that going on. Well, this is right after the war, in the 40s. And they started making civilian cars again. And, man, you couldn't get them. Oh, my goodness, they've been building tanks and war material. And they had to switch the factories over. And they had to get the production going again. And he called Brother Oral in, this man next door. He said, I'm impressed by you. Now, young man, you ought not be driving that thing you're driving. He said, you need a better car than that. And I'm going to put you in one. He was just sitting there, come beside himself. This man got them a new, brand new Buick. A Buick. Wow. They didn't know what to think. They were driving down the street, and Evelyn said, "Stop the car!" He said, "What?" She said, "Stop the car!" They got out of the car. She got out on one side. He said, "What is it, Evelyn?" She said, "Look at this. Look at this." They put their hands on the top of it and they cried and thanked God for it right out in the middle of the street in the traffic. Look at this. It provided thanksgiving to God. And this is a man that eventually believed God for $500 million worth of campus at Oral Roberts. You know. Changed the world's insight into divine healing in hell. And God pressed them and pushed them and really got them out there a bit beyond what they could ask or think.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it wasn't long after that. Again, Oral stopped the car. He stopped the car. What? She said, "This is in the Bible. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." He said, "Evelyn, that ain't in the Bible." She said, "It is too, Oral Roberts. I got it right here." She found that Buick in 1 John, or 3 John. Now, what was happening? Their clothesline was getting stronger. Amen. They were living with the deacons. They had no home. She said, "Oh, Roberts, if you don't get me in these kids' house, I'm taking these children, I'm going to go home to Mama, you get me a place to live." He said, "You wouldn't do that." She said, "You just try me. I'm fed up with this, living in the house of somebody else all the time." And he's pastor of the church. But they wouldn't get him a place. They said, "Now you're doing all right, and live with the deacons." Not any longer. She said, no, that ain't the way it's going to be. Well, he went to midweek service that week, and he stood up, and he got a hat, and was going to receive an offering for parsonage, and he said, And that one of the people in the church said, "You deacons won't do it. We're going to do it. We're going to receive an offering." And Brother Robert said, "I'm going to start this tonight with my $53, I believe it's $53 or $59, whatever it was, paycheck." And he put it in that offering. Well, they got enough money to get a little down payment on something. He got home. Evelyn stayed home with the kids. Really, really super Oklahoma cold that night. It was dead of winter. Up there on them old cold plains. And it was hovering around zero. And he said, "I got home and I told Evelyn what I'd done. I put our whole paycheck in that offering tonight." She said, "Oral, you didn't." He said, "Yeah, I did. I did it." She said, he said, "You don't have any idea how cold it was in that bedroom that night." "It's colder than it was outside." See, they didn't know. We learned this from them. God was pressing them. Pressing them in. He's pressing us. And we are on the precipices right now of exceeding abundantly beyond what we can ask. We're there. I've been preparing for this a long time to get my asker and my thinker on up there. Pressure my faith and push it until it gets to the place that it ain't going to stagger over something that it shouldn't. Amen. There's a man knocked on the door at 4 o'clock in the morning. Brother Roberts answered the door. There was a man that was a large farmer, member of that church. He said, "Oral, I want to apologize to you." He said, "I didn't put anything in that offering tonight at church." Now, he said, "Nobody knows this, but I've been playing the stock market and stuff." And he said, "Oral, I'm about to lose my farm. And I got to have a miracle of God to save my farm and everything I got." He said, "I dug this up out of my yard at home." And he handed Brother Roberts 4 $100 bills.
Thank him.
They'd never seen a $100 bill.
No.
He said, "Now, Oral, that is not money. That's seed." That's when he found out about seed faith. 4 o'clock in the morning.
Think about it.
Wind howling across the plains. Cold outside, cold inside. He said he walked back in that bedroom and he woke Evelyn up and he said, "Do you see this?" Hallelujah.
Yes.
What do you suppose our children and grandchildren are going to be saying about our little old $1 million offerings?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. And our little old $20 million airplanes and our little old this and our little old that.
That's great.
And they're paying off government debts. Boy, the Lord threw that at me a few days ago now. I mentioned it on this week's broadcast, huh? He threw that at me. That somebody said on television, "They've got us so deep in debt, we ain't no way anybody can pay it all." And I said, "Boy, you got that right." Well, here come the Lord. "Don't you ever say that again." I said, "What did I say? I wasn't thinking about that." He said, "Don't you ever say that they have you in such debt you can't nobody pay it off." He said, "Trillions don't mean nothing to me. I can pay it off."
Amen.
And he said, "If you'll stir up your faith," he said, "and you get the body of Christ stirred up about it, I'll give you the money and you can pay off the government's debt. And when you do, you'll own it."
Yeah.
is exceeding abundantly. He said, trillions don't mean nothing to me. My faith jumped up there, man. I mean, it took a giant leap up. And I've been doing everything that I've been taught to do to keep it up there. Because it keeps wanting to fall off the ladder, you know. There's trillions? I just got to where I could save above a billion. And now I got me over on trillions.
Come on.
What does that mean to God?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
He's got 100 billion galaxies.
Praise God. Praise God.
Where was I? Are we receiving off? Did it?
Just a little bit right here?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you. Bless the Lord. I was working for Brother Hagin then, and of course he was teaching faith. He had great faith for healing, but he didn't know yet about faith for prosperity. So the Lord started teaching him about faith for prosperity. And he found in the Bible in Romans 12:3 that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So he found out that faith was measurable. And then he found out that Jesus talked about great faith and little faith, and it was measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found in 2 Thessalonians, your faith groweth how?
Exceedingly.
So his daughter told me, we hadn't walked in it much yet, but he saw it. And so he knew his faith could grow. And he was measuring it as he went along.
Uh-huh.
And he knew that the down payment and the furniture and whatever he had was the measure of faith he had. But he told Aretha, I can't hang the drapes on there. This far go right now. But he knew that his faith was going to grow exceedingly because he saw that you could feed your faith and your faith would grow. And he fed it. And it grew, and he fed it, and it grew, and it grew in the realm of prosperity. And you see, there we were. I thank God when I'd listen to those tapes, and he'd hear those bowl tires singing to him. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? He was preaching prosperity and traveling at nighttime so his tires wouldn't explode because they were bowl. But he saw prosperity in it. And so he started, and his faith grew exceedingly. And then here we came, the Copelands down on the river, cooking potatoes in a coffee pot. Bless the Lord. But they took it up there and got Brother Roberts and went on, and our faith grew. And now the body of Christ, our faith has grown and exceedingly, so that we can move over into the exceedingly abundantly above. But it is a matter of growth, but we're growing and we're there. We're not there yet. But where?
We somewhere.
Yeah, we somewhere.
A whole lot better than what we used to be.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this exciting thing. Exciting thing. And the message that the Lord's given me tonight, I can see now why he said what he did to me this afternoon. And I left my prayer time this afternoon almost speechless. I was just so blessed. And I just walk around the room just speaking in tongues and just praising God. Amen. I preached myself happy before I left that hotel this afternoon. If you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand and the ushers will give them to you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, go ahead and wait on the people and they'll be obedient to the things of God. Amen. Brother Wayne, go right ahead, you guys. Amen.
I won't move much. Well, we'll get you right back in the service in just a moment, but we want to let you know that giving is very, very easy online, and we appreciate you participating in giving. Let me read you out of Luke 6, verse 38. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Right there on the BBOB TV page, there's a button for you to click on, online contribution. If you're watching us in Spanish, there's one on there for you as well. Click on that. It's very easy to do that. Take through the prompts, and you can give with a credit card or a debit card or lots of different ways that you can give on there. And let me say again how much we appreciate your participation in this ministry, both with your prayer and with your giving. We appreciate you so very much. We'll get you back into the service. Brother Copeland's coming right back up with a message tonight. You don't want to go anywhere. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you in a little while.
We'll be going home. I look around me and I see prophecy fulfilled everywhere. Hallelujah. You know the signs of the times. They're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as He says, Son, go get my children. Bring them on home at the midnight cry. We'll be going home. Oh, when Jesus, when He steps out to call His children. See being fulfilled everywhere. Hallelujah. The signs of this end time, they're appearing everywhere. Oh, I can almost hear the Father. Yes, as He says, Son, you go get my children and bring them on home. It's a midnight cry.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. Thank you. Well, you can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I'm going to come back down there. Let's open our Bibles two places, Luke chapter 12 and also in the book of Matthew. Now remember, I read you the word of the Lord that came to me in the early morning hours in the latter part of the month of October 2008. And in this word, the Lord said to me that morning, don't pay attention or make any plans based on what the media says or what the politicians are saying. And all this is in the middle of all the campaigning, you know. Stand on my word. Pay attention to me. He said, I, the Holy Spirit, will show you things to come. I'll lead you through troubled times. I already have the plan for you, and it's very good. Follow it. It'll not only get you through, it will place you in a very high place, a very rich place, a strong place of victory. Well, I took hold of that, and I've been standing on that and studying that and looking up scriptures, and he said a number of other things there. One of the things, he said the same thing, be cautious, be very cautious to stay clean of covetousness. And that's what opened the door to where we've been studying now. And so where does this plan come in here? Now, in Luke chapter 12, let's go back where we were there. Jesus said the same thing here. Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's not what his, that's not what his life's all about. There's more to your life than what you can stack up. Now, he didn't say it was wrong to possess an abundance of things. He just said, that's not what your life is about. That's, the world has a plan to get abundance, and God has a plan to get abundance. One of them is a life plan. The other one is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I want to add something into this tonight that we haven't talked about before. The ways of death, we got that from the book of Proverbs in the 14th chapter, 12th verse. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It is a way of thinking. And it is the ways of the natural world, and Satan is the god, little g, of that Babylonian system. And when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he wasn't just talking about all the earth. He's talking about that system, that Babylonian system that has people trapped in it. Go preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Galatians 3:8. God preached the gospel of it to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Now, let's go back over to the book of Genesis. You hold your place there in the book of Matthew. We're going to come back to there. I want you to look here in the book of Genesis. And the Lord began talking to me about the plan today. And this is the first scripture that he gave me with which to energize it in your thinking. In Genesis chapter
One. Hang on, be patient with me. This new Bible, I'll tell you, they're wonderful, but oh man. The pages are so crisp and nice and sticky. My old Bible's all limbered up, you know. Oh, man, those pages are just flying. This one, you got a... You'll be all right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now notice verse 26. Man be in our image after our likeness, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That's when he spoke or breathed the breath of life into him in these words, and man became a living, speaking soul, spirit, soul, and body. That's when his body came alive. Well, now, Adam didn't hear any of that. That's before his ears could hear. That is before he heard anything. He was coming into being. So then God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That is the blessing. God blessed him, saying. Now, in the blessing, God blessed them and said, be fruitful. Now, he heard that. Adam heard that. Be fruitful. Well, how am I supposed to be fruitful? Well, the blessing. Well, yeah, but what about it? There was a plan of God, a living plan in that blessing, to be fruitful. The plan was in the blessing. The multiplying plan was in the blessing. He didn't give him a power with no plan. Can you see where that's going? I mean, that's really, really simple. But how's he going to have dominion over the world? But with the blessing. But how do you do that? Well, the plan of dominion was in the blessing. And you go right on down the line with every step of it. You remember, God had to tell Israel, I have plans for you, and they are very good. Where are those plans? They're in the blessing. Now, he said, replenish the earth. Now, this man has in him and on him the power with a mandate to use it. God has created all living things. Everything he created was alive, and all of it had to eat. Every bug. Even today, there's over 500,000 species of bugs, and every one of them eats something. Every blade of grass had to be fed. Every flower had to be fed. Every bird had to be fed. Every fish of the sea, everything had to have nourishment. God created everything to have nourishment. He created the food to feed everything. It's when you mess with that food and get out of the plan, then you or nothing else has the nourishment that God designed for it. And your body, their spirit, your mind, their mind, it will begin to break down over time because it's not exactly like your body.
The food you eat is supposed to be exactly like your body. The food for your spirit is exactly like your spirit. The food for your mind is exactly like your mind. Now, if you mess with it or alter it, Jesse's been talking about genetically altered spirit food. And it turns into religion based in philosophies. Well, it won't nourish your spirit. And it sure won't build faith. Why? They don't faith in it. That's why. It's not there. Well, the same thing's true with the food that he created for your body. He didn't create Fritos and Twinkies, genetically altered corn, and all that, whatever it is. Well, your body doesn't recognize it as food. And because your body don't know what you're eating until after you've eaten it, and then it chemically analyzes it and separates it and divides it, and then it decides whether it's food or not. And when you're not putting any food in there, it thinks you're starving to death. It thinks you're eating cardboard and paper and junk like that. Doesn't have any nutrition in it, so it doesn't know that it's food. It'll increase your hunger trying to get you to eat something. Because it thinks you're starving to death. It's not getting any nutrition. And all your glands are trying to get something out of you. And they're trying to get rid of this trash. And they can't get it out of the body because it's full of toxins. And so it stores it as fat. And it'll kill you. God said the days of man shall be 120. He didn't say the days of man shall be 70 or 80. That was the cap on a disobedient people out in the desert that refused to do what he said do. Well, how in the world is somebody going to live to be 120 years old? The plan is in the blessing. Science knows it. I mean, they finally realized in the last, last couple of decades or so that there's really no physical reason, no medical reason why the body ought to die. At 65, 70, 75 years, they said thing ought to live 150 years. Well, it won't do it on chemicals. One woman that was head of a large department, she's an MD, and head of of orthopedics, she's an orthopedic surgeon. And she was head of that department, big hospital, and a strong woman of God. And she came up with cancer, diagnosed seriously with cancer. Well, of course, all of her colleagues jumped in there. They want to give her chemotherapy. She said, "May I ask a question?" They said, "Certainly." She said, was my body deficient in chemicals? Is what got me cancer?" They said, "No." She said, "Well, then why should I add it to it?" She didn't go along with their plan. Made them mad, furious. They got even madder when she got healed. But there was another plan over in the blessing, and she got over there in it. And it was not just a divine healing miracle. That was part of it. But she got in there and found out that there was a food plan in there too. And there was a thinking plan in there too. And she got into the blessing of God that came to her through Abraham, through Jesus Christ. And she got, well, praise God, now preaching the gospel of healing. That's not hard to see where we're going with this, is it? Huh? The world has a plan. God has a plan. His work's never done. We could end right there and say, well, there you are. Well, how am I supposed to know? You got one of these?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's the blessing plan right there. God put it in a blood covenant and sealed it with the blood of his son. And willing more abundantly to show the unchangeableness and the perfectness of his counsel, he swore by himself. Because he could swear by no greater. I have a plan for you. And it is marvelous and wonderful and beyond what you can ask. Yeah, but he'd never do it for me. Now, that's a lie out of hell from the world to you.
That's not what it says in here. Oh, thank God. Now, let me tell you what the Lord began to talk to me about today. What I just shared with you, yes. Let's go over here, though, to Luke's gospel, and let's read from that, and then we'll go over to Matthew's gospel, and we'll remember here what Jesus said from Luke 12. Beware of covetousness, in verse 15. For man's life consists not in abundance of the things which he possesses. He spake a parable unto them at about a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. You don't have to pray anymore. You don't have to believe God anymore. You got it made. You can just go on and do whatever you want to do. Eat, drink, and party. You will find eating and drinking and partying in the plan of God. Dance parties. But dancing for joy before God. And God gets in it. Whoa. Rejoicing before Him on a much higher plane than anybody else. Well, it depends on which spirit you're after. Every man to his own choice of spirit. Amen. You can get drunk on something comes out of a bottle. You can get drunk on the Holy Ghost.
Yes, you can.
And you can smile real big and you can say, hey, drunk, you're going to be sober in the morning. I'm still going to be drunk on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Amen. And my good time ain't killing me. It's giving me life.
Amen.
Now, here's the key verse to all of this. You know it and I know it. We've read it, confessed it. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or for the body, what you shall put on. And he gives us the process of how to change our thinking. And then he says, seek your Father, knows you have need of these things. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of food, clothing, and all else. He knows you have need of that.
Oh, yes, he does.
And there is a plan in the blessing for your food. There's a plan in the blessing for your clothes. There's a plan in the blessing for your home. There's a plan in the blessing for everything you will ever need, want, or desire, and ain't no plan for you having to go into debt to get it.
Amen.
Are you beginning to see the connection here? All right. What did he say? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is he talking about, seeking first the kingdom of God? The plan is in the kingdom. And the kingdom is the source of the blessing. Now, God knows you have need of food.
Yes, he does.
But are you willing to get on his plan to feed your body?
No.
Now, let me, before we get over into that, let me tell you this. This afternoon, I'm walking around in there and praying, and I laid down there and prayed and crossed my bed a little while, and I got up again. And I'm just praying in the Spirit and listening to the Lord. And he said this, I heard the word of the Lord. And he instructed me to tell you this tonight. For every plan that the government has, I don't care what government it is, this government or anybody else's government, but particularly this government because it's supposed to be by the people, for the people, and so forth. But it's gotten to the place where it's becoming God over the people. And the government, our president, bless his darling heart, the only reason he said it is because he's deceived in this area. But he said it out loud. He said, only the government is big enough to get us out of this recession. I'll beg your happy heart's pudding. Don't give me that. Well, the government has a plan to get you out of the recession. And the Lord said to me this afternoon, and like I said, he instructed me to say it to you, so I'm going to say it as close as I can to exactly the way he said it. He said, for every plan that the government has to help you or meet a need in your life, he said, there is a corresponding plan in the kingdom of God. Because he said, all of those plans are not original. He said, they are designed by the ways of death, by the God of death. And he said, for all of those plans, there is a corresponding plan to each one of them that I have designed. And he said, the problem with it is, Satan could only attempt to copy my plans and my ways because he don't know anything else. And there's no truth in him. He can't come up with anything else. All he can do is take God's ways, God's things, and what God has already revealed and twist them. He can't do it any other way, and he can't keep from twisting it because he's a liar. If God said four, Satan said four, when Satan said it, it is a lie. Why? Because he's a liar and there ain't no truth in him. There's something wrong with it. Always. So, every plan that men can come up with to meet your needs, particularly without God, there is a corresponding plan in the kingdom of God that works, and it is the ways of life. Yes. And it's always better and to your and my advantage instead of somebody else's advantage that wants to control us or get something out of us. I don't care whether it's a government or somebody else. I mean, there's always some kind of agenda in those dead plans. Now, that comes out of covetousness thinking. That's what gives birth to those things. You get a bunch of people together that have no idea what God said, don't care what God said, and they're pushing for separation between the church and state. That's the stupidest thing anybody ever did. Want to separate from God. That's the answer to the question right there. How dumb can you get? Now, the dumbest thing that ever happened is from idiotic angel to think he can overthrow God. Now, man, that is just dumb. Stupid. Do you remember that story about that guy that had a blowout? And he pulled over the side of the road to put his spare on. And he realized he parked right next to the fence of a mental institution. And there's a guy standing there watching him. And he got out and took that tire off, and he laid his hubcap down there, you know, and put all the lug nuts in that hubcap, and he went back there and got a spare and rolled it around there. And when he turned around, he clipped the edge of that hubcap, and it flipped up and dumped all those lug nuts right down the street drain. And man, he's walking along there. What in the world am I going to do? And he's sitting there studying this. And the guy on the other side of the fence said, could I help you? He said, help me what? He said, look at me like you got a problem there. He said, yeah. He said, you fouled up and lost your lug nuts, didn't you? Yeah. He said, take one off of each of the other three wheels and put that one on there. It'll hold till you can get to a station or a shop or somewhere and get you another set of lug nuts. And the old boy smiled, and he said, kind of surprised you that I come up with something like that, didn't he? He said, yeah, as a matter of fact, he did. He said, buddy, I'm in here for being crazy, not stupid. I look at some of these, and the more I stay in the Word of God, I look at some of these government plans, and I wonder, if that's where they went to get them. Or maybe that's where they need to go to get them. No, it's not because people, they don't start off mean-hearted or anything else. They're trying to help somebody, but they're trying to get the plan out of their own heads, and they get together. Now, when they get together, they get involved in spiritual forces and so forth. They don't even know they exist. In fact, they're the ones that swear up and down they don't exist. And Satan can get in there together and stir them up together. And he'll give them his plan that gives him control over the people they're trying to help. It's been going on ever since the Tower of Babel. You remember Israel coming to Samuel and saying, we want a king. Well, Samuel went to God, and God said, they don't want a king. And you remember all the stuff he outlined and said, if they get a king, why did they want a king? We want to be like other nations. They're a successful nation, but they want to be like those.
Yes.
He's going to tax you. He's going to use your children for the military and all of these things. He lined out all these things. Yeah, but they said, we want a king. God said, all right, give them one. Now, why would he do that? Knowing what he's going to do to them. They're his covenant people, and that's what they asked for, so that's what he gave them. Now, why do we have this kind of government? These are not bad people, but they got bad thinking. Because their plan is not coming out of the blessing. It's coming out of the curse. And the laws of sin and death are in functioning there instead of the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of deception there. Now, it will grow on into some people to get into that kind of thinking and they don't have any resistance to it. They'll do some bad things. And then from bad to worse and so forth and so on. But that's what causes all that kind of mess. Now, follow this with me. Where did kings originate? Where did the monarchy style of government originate? At Babel. Nimrod. First king. And he was a mean, mad dog that wanted to control everybody and everything, including God. That was the first king. And they're wanting that kind of government when God was the head of their nation. And it was working. It wasn't that it wasn't working for them. So he gave them one, and they got in trouble. But now, even as glorious as the ministry of David was as a king and as a prophet and as a psalmist and so forth, but his ministry never was in the perfect will of God because it wasn't God's will to have a king in the first place. So there was a lot of failure there. Huh? Now listen carefully. We're just right there. We are just right there. Let's go over here to the book of Matthew. I'll do that. Thank you, Lord. hold your place in Matthew. Praise God. Well, I never preached this before just like this. Amen. And let's go here to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And let's look at the ministry of Jesus and why he came. There's been a great miracle. A man's been raised up and went leaping, praising God through the temple, and Peter saw it and began to preach. Why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us? By our power, holiness, this man was made to walk. And in verse 16, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, faith which by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And he began to preach. Now, come on down here to verse 24. Or verse 23. It'll come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken likewise foretold of these days, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. That's the mission that was on Jesus. The blessing. Now, go back over there to the book of Luke, the last chapter, 24th chapter of Luke, and go down to the 50th verse. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. Now, did Jesus ever say or do anything that his Father hadn't already said and he had already seen him do? Well, what do you think he said? God bless y'all. I'm gone. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion in my name. Same thing God said to Adam. Same thing God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Same thing God said to Noah and his sons. And Ham and Japheth were the ones that broke off and blew that blessing off.
Now.
But Shem stayed with it. And Nimrod came out of Ham and Japheth. That was not a Shem-ordained form of government. It was Ham and Japheth form of government. No. That king. What is... And people have believed for years that kings were appointed of God to put over people. It's a form of socialist government. The head, the central government, is telling everybody what to do. You have no individualism. You can't do what you want to do. You can't do what God calls you to do. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Because if I need somebody that's a farmer, you be a farmer if I tell you you're a farmer. You're going to give me about half your crop, too. What was the first thing they said? We'll use brick instead of stone.
Thank you, brother.
We'll make a name for ourselves. We'll build us a city. We ain't going any further. What did God tell Noah and his sons? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now we're afraid we're going to get scattered all over the earth. Well, sure, that's what you're supposed to do. Dumb is get scattered around the earth. But through fear and through Nimrod scared the whole bunch. And they gathered up around there and built them a city all out of bricks. All of them just alike. All of them just no individual. All the stones were different. But built it out of bricks so they're all just alike.
Think of it.
No individualism at all. Take away all the individualism. The only individual here that counts is me, King. We'll build a name for ourselves. God told Abraham, I'll make a name for you. Hallelujah. Now, which plan do you want? Which name do you want? I sure ought to be kin to Abraham, and I had to be kin to Nimrod.
Amen.
Well, there's some folks in the government today, kin to Nimrod. Any government. I don't care whether it's this one or some other. Now, the United States was the closest thing to what God designed as a government that the world has ever seen. But in its makeup, and you know, people carry on about our forefathers and there's a bunch of secularists and all that. Oh, no. I really got amused the other day at David Barton. He was saying, you know, he was on Mr. Huckabee's program on Fox. And he said, people recognize about four, that the most five of the framers of the Constitution, signers of the Declaration of Independence, and he said John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and maybe one or two others, and everybody recognizes George Washington in the picture they got of this whole thing, and all that. But he went around the room naming the other 50-some-odd that were there, that made those decisions about the Constitution of the United States, the law of this land, and the Declaration of Independence. And they got it out of the Bible. And you go down the line. This one is head of a school of theology. This one is a pastor. This one is head of Princeton. And at that time, Princeton was a theological seminary. And they came up with a plan. And the way it happened, these documents were over 75% direct quotes from God's Word. Now, when the Puritans got here, they did not know how to live as free people. They had no clue. They did not have a clue. 1,400 years they'd been under a king and a socialistic type government. And if the king says you're a wheelwright, then you are John Wheelwright. And that's what your family's name is. You're Wheelwrights. And you're going to be a blacksmith and your name is Smith and everybody after you is going to be named Smith. They didn't know any different. 1,400 years they'd been under that. And when they first got over here, they were spending from 2 to 6 hours a day or more together in group Bible study, studying God's Word on how do you live as free men out from under a king.
Think about it. Think about it.
And it finally came. All men are created equal. They firmly believed that this document would wipe out slavery. Well, it eventually did, but they had to go to war to do it. But it finally did.
Yes, it did.
All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator. Certain unalienable rights. Amen? What are they? Life,
liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is individualism. They didn't come by that easy. It took a long time. They studied and they made mistakes and they stumbled around, but they were searching the kingdom of God and His righteousness for the plan. And it was in there. And that's the reason Jesus said, seek that first. Because the plan is there. The life plan is there. Your Heavenly Father knows you need food. There's a food plan in there. Not only how to get it, how to be blessed, or whatever else it takes, but what to eat, how to eat. Now, later on, people made a religion out of it, and they added a lot of things to it. But God, you can go there and still find out what not to eat. Don't eat pigs. Don't eat fish that eat waste. Stop eating in the sewer. That ought not be too hard. What is it about that you don't understand? Don't go to the outhouse to have lunch. Well, Brother Copeland, I thought the New Testament said we can have anything. Well, see, you wanting to stay with that Babylonian plan.
Come on. Come
on. And now you're worried about not getting your health plan. Why? Well, you're sick. But you got on Babylon's eating program. Now, let me kick it out there even stronger than this. Because I've been through this big time. And because I had to deal with this. I used to weigh over 100 pounds more than I do now. Everything I liked was illegal, immoral, and fattening. That's the way I thought. Amen. So, well, Brother Copeland, I don't understand it. I can just walk past a table of food and gain 20 pounds. Well, now you got it in your mouth. You've been saying it all this time. Well, now let's get down into the nitty gritty about it here. What you've been doing about? Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, Brother Copeland. I don't drink anything but Diet Cokes, and I only eat fat free food. You keep getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. Like one man said, Jesse already said, "Ah, pray for me. I'm a hog." Oh, pray for me. Oh, I knew how he felt, man. But you get, I went to God. I said, "What do you want? What? How are you going to deliver me from food? You delivered me from smoking. You delivered me from alcohol and all that. How am I going to get delivered from food? I got to eat." God said, "I did not. I delivered you from breathing smoke."
Think about it. Think about it.
That's stupid in the first place. Well, I'll tell you what. I got me a patch. What are you going to do if you get addicted to the patch? It's late. I ain't got time to play with you.
Come on.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. What am I going to do? Hey, there's a plan in here. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why? He knows you have need of food. So He made a plan so you can have food. And then gave you a way to pray over it. And give thanks for it. And sanctify it. Even when you don't know what it is. Amen. And I've been there too. Boy, I sit down to a table 5 o'clock one morning in Jamaica up there in the mountains and I had no idea what any of that was in that plate. The meat was green. Except I saw a piece of toast there and I thought, I know what that is. So I immediately went over into
sanctification prayer and so forth, standing on the Word of God. I didn't pray it out loud. I mean, these dear people trying to love me, they got up all night long cooking the best they had. I just didn't know what it was. Weird looking stuff. And I picked up my piece of bread to eat it first. It wasn't bread. It just looked like bread. Strange tasting stuff. Every time I'd take a bite, they'd refill my plate. Come to find out the meat was curried goat. Well, now hey, you know, don't back out on me here, because I like goat meat. Yeah, man. Eat that barbecued goat and all that stuff. But not no curried goat. Oh. Green for breakfast. 5:45 in the morning. You gotta be kidding me, man. And I'd take a bite and boop, they'd replace it. I'm in trouble. God help me through it. Amen. Now, God has a clothing plan. He knows you have need of clothes. And it ain't sloppy either. Amen. He not only has a plan to clothe your body, He has a plan to clothe your spirit in His glory and manifest it. Oh, yeah, He's big on clothes. He created man for his clothes to come from within and out. God, you can't see God's body. Why? He's a fire from His loins up and His loins down. Well, so was Adam. They had not seen one another's body through that glory until after the glory was gone and they were naked.
Thank you.
And so what happened? Man.
Thank you.
Have you ever tried to make clothes out of leaves off of a bush? I'm telling you, that's what that poor fella and his wife are trying to do, man. They ain't never made clothes, and they're embarrassed, and they don't even want to talk to God. God come in there and say, "Where you are?" He said, no, man. He run off naked as a jaybird and turn around and look at us. Ah, you naked. What's the matter with you, woman? What are we going to do? And they start trying to make clothes. They ain't never made clothes. They ain't got a clue nothing about not making no clothes. And they tried to put some leaves together and make some clothes. And you know, God would have been laughing if it wasn't so serious. The first covenant He ever made was in the blood of an animal to clothe His family. Amen. And showed them how to make clothes. Satan would have left them naked till they froze and died. And God clothed them. How much more will He clothe you, oh you of little faith? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is that? There's a plan in the kingdom for some fine clothes for you and your family, and for you to be given clothes and sewing clothes into people's lives.
Amen.
Food plans and clothing plans. But you have to seek Him.
Yes.
Take the time. Seek Him. It's in the book. That's what the book is.
Think about it.
He has a way for you to live 120 years.
Thank Him.
But you ain't going to do it the world's way.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kill you.
Help us,
and charge you for it.
No.
But that's all right, because the government's going to pay your medical bill, you know. You believe that? If you believe that, have I got a deal for you? No, you don't believe that, and I don't either. You know why? There ain't that much money. You can't pay for everybody's medical bill when they're all killing themselves. They're on the wrong food plan. They're on the wrong thought plan. Most of them on the wrong church plan, if they got any church plan.
They over there, and you know, Jesse talking about the genetically altered and religious philosophy-filled Bible. That thing will kill you. It'll tell you, go to the government. They got a plan for you. God ain't going to do it because he don't answer prayer anymore. Got to work it out for yourself. But bring your offering when you come. You come. How long is it going to take for us to wake up? Whoa, we're waking up now. You know what? There's a wake-up plan in that book. Hallelujah! But that's your not only your source of supply, it's your source of wisdom and knowledge and information and how heaven does it. Why is it that Mr. Einstein was so smart? How come his theories turned out to be fact when people got out into outer space and they got out there and found out he was right all the time? There was not a theory that's become fact. How? Why? Well, they first place, they hated the man. Second place, he's a Jew. And they didn't want him around anymore. Why? Well, they asked him, where did you get this? And he said, well, I just asked God, how'd you do this? And I said, God, if I was going to build this universe, what would I do? And he said, I just asked him, and he said, I just got into that place where, from his position and looked back down on it, and they said, that can't be right. What did he do? He got into the plan and found out what was going on out there. And they hated him for it. And so Nazis kicked him out of Germany. And thank God he came to the United States. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now think about, and I won't spend a lot of time on this part of it, but think about what's happened to the Constitution of the United States, which says it is unlawful for the government to tax personal income. Well, now, that can't be right. No, that can't be right. Where did they get that? They got it out of the Word of God. Put it in the Constitution. So somebody had to amend it. Change what God said. Make it legal. And here you go. Over and over and over and over. Now, our forefathers weren't 100% right, but they were hanging on to God. And God made up the difference, and he helped them, and he intended to help us over the generations. And he fully planned in this kind of government for the people that passed the laws to come back home and live under them. He didn't plan on you being a professional senator or professional politician. They were looking for professional politicians. This session, the store owner down there goes to Washington. And we tell him, now, listen now, here's what we need. You go up there and represent us now. You go up there and get done what we need doing. It came out of the people. When they quit coming home, they lost contact. Now what happened? Why is it today in governments all over the world? Chloe and I have sat and watched it. We've gone into it and to watch it and study it and see what happens. Somebody is believing right. I'm talking about good people, a good man, a good woman, believing right, and they're strong with the right principles and so forth, and they get into government, and they go up there, and all of a sudden, you think, who is that?
Right.
They get into office and do the very opposite from what they went up there to do. Why is it politicians break their promises? Because they make their promises down here when they're thinking right, and they go up there and they get subject to those devils that Satan has assigned over them that they don't even know is changing their way of thinking. We've seen it happen in Israel. We've seen it happen in Britain. We've seen it happen in the United States. We've seen it in every kind of government all over the world. Even Christians, if God put it in their heart. But they didn't search the plan to find out what God wanted, and they tried to get in that Babylonian plan and made themselves subject to the thing that seems right to a person, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, it looked like the thing to do. Why's everybody always picking on me? Takes a strong man, strong woman to walk in God in that kind of atmosphere and environment. I've met a few of them. And there's a few of them in there right now. And I'm not just taking what the news media says about them. Some of them the news media don't know. But there's some of them that do. And every time one of them comes up that God has their ear, scares the absolute daylights out of that whole operation. Because don't mess with my plan.
Think about it. Think about it.
I'm not supposed to eat that way you want me to eat. How could I eat that way? I ain't gonna eat like you eat. I'm not gonna think like you think. I'm not going to believe like you believe. Why? I can't do what I want to do. What do you want to do? Pet my flesh. Pet my mind. And keep my spirit shut up. I don't want any conscience telling me what. And your flesh will say, so get me that. You see her walking across that street, you get me that. You get that from me.
Thank you.
I've got to have a plan.
Thank you.
And your spirit rise up and said, you ain't getting that. That ain't in your plan. Oh, man, I want that in my plan. I want to... I said, there's a local billboard here. Smart choice. So many calories. Only 2.5 grams of carbs. Smart choice. Only thing, it's a beer commercial. Sweetheart. It's not the carbohydrates in the beer. Right. It's giving you a problem.
Right.
There's something else in there. Well, all the time I thought that was... No. Hallelujah. Well, what am I supposed to look like? I'm 72 years old. Huh? That'll be the day.
Amen.
I got a different plan, hoss. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have more purpose than how I feel or how I look. I didn't train my body so I could wear better-looking clothes. Why? I'm not supposed to be having my clothes on my mind all the time. That's not why I'm going to the gym. My Heavenly Father knows I have need of these things. He also knows I have need of a healthy body and to be strong. I ain't leaving here at no 72, 73, 74. I'm too busy, man. I ain't got time to do that. I don't have time to quit and die. Oh, a lot of time it looked like fun. Die, go to heaven, get out of this pig pen down here. No. I'm not. I can't think like that. It's more expedient for you if I stay. We've got to keep searching this thing. We have to keep bringing glory to God. He needs us healthy. He needs us strong. He needs us rich. He needs us filled with the Holy Ghost. And to dig in this plan until we find out what He's got in store for us.
Think about it.
Seek ye first the plans that are in the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Father.
He has a way for you. And it's better. It doesn't have any debt in it. The Bible said it doesn't have any sorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
We're redeemed from eating by the sweat of our brow and having to toil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands that which is good, in order that he may have to give to him that needs.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
That's your purpose.
Amen.
That's why you're employed. But now, wait a minute. What is the plan here? Well, let's see. I got to get this much education. I got to get out here and I got to get me a job. And Lord, as soon as I get a job, I'm going to do what I can about tithing and so forth. Well, where are you going to get the job? Well, now here, you know, we got this plan. There's a counselor at the school that's been talking to me and mom and them been talking to me. And, you know, I thought maybe I probably ought to do this, but no. Mama didn't want me to do that. Mama wanted me to go to law school. Daddy wanted me to be an engineer. So I'm going to take some engineering courses. And I don't know. You know, I may change my major here later on. But the important thing here is that I get a good job with a good retirement. Now, that's covetousness thinking. All in the world you're doing is making plans so somebody else will take care of you one of these days.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's already got a place planned out, worked out, where you're to work and what you're to be. And it is so far out there beyond anything you can ask or think. It is beyond anything you had any desire to do. Glory to God. And religion has taught us if it's anything we want to do, it must be us and not God. And He put the desire in your heart to fly. He put the desire in your heart to go to sea. He put the desire in your heart to preach His gospel. He put the desire in your heart to design homes. He put the desire in your heart to be in the car business. He put that desire in there. Now, you may have warped it up and got all hung up on cars and all that. Well, I guarantee you ain't nobody at the church liked it. All them fast cars and all that. That's the devil out there racing them cars. Well, he's having more fun than I am in here. That's what they used to tell me. You know. Oh, you hear them big engines running. Man, that sounded good to me. Whoa. I'm sitting in that Mickey Mouse Sunday school room that stunk. They used old floor sweep in there, you know, they put it all over the floor and sweep it back in a bucket. They've been using that nasty same can of floor sweep for who knows how long. They're too cheap to buy any new. Nasty smelling thing. That's what I'm telling you, what was in my mind when I was a young man, young boy. My, I love the roar of those engines. Ah, when the airplane would fly over, I'd jump up from my desk and run over to the window and watch the thing fly. The teacher just is screaming. She finally didn't say nothing anymore. Because if an airplane came over, she knew what I was going to do, just forget it. It was in me to fly. Well, later, I began to realize why. God needed aviation in His gospel. And somebody had to introduce the thing, and somebody had to get in here and believe for it. Well, I didn't know any better. I was untaught in the ways of poverty. My parents didn't teach me that. They taught me better than that. My dad was a tither, and he broke from his family, and they talked rather ugly about all of us. My daddy think, who's W think he is going off out there to think he make more money? And of course he did. And then they really didn't like him. But he was a tither. He was the kind of tither. He and mother put tithing in their wedding vows. They promised God all their lives to tithe. Married over 60 years. Tithe everything that ever came into their hands. Went all the way through the Great Depression and never was 24 hours without a job. Out there where the Depression was really, really, really rough. Because they'd had a 10-year drought in the same area where it did not rain. They were raised in the dust bowl of the plains of Texas. Didn't rain from 31 to 41. And the Depression was all in the same time. And my dad, little West Texas farmer. Mama and he would pray. And she said, I'd pray as long as I could see him. And then she'd say, I'd start my work there in the house. And she said, I'd pray for him all day. And she said, he'd come back at night. He'd have a job. God blessed him and took care of him.
Thank him.
Now he began to believe there's more to this. He began to prosper. And he sowed that in me. Well, I rebelled against it for a while, but it grew up in me.
Thank him.
And that's the first place I went. When I came into the things of God. And then God honored my mom and my dad and put me right in the middle between Oral Roberts and Kenneth E. Hagin.
Wow.
And I'm flying for Oral Roberts. And I'm studying faith under Brother Hagin. And I'm watching Oral do it. And finding out how he did it through Kenneth Hagin. Whoa, glory to God. And flying the best airplane I ever flew in my life. 4,000 horsepower. 28 cylinder R2800 engines. Talk about whoa, 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 man. Yeah. Sonny boy has come on up. And I argued with God for 3.5 to 4 years about ever going up there. Dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. We finally broke loose, obeyed God. And every step of it has been the best I've ever known. And it's still getting that way. Why? I found out where his plans are. And I found out he would reveal them to me. If I just start with the basics. Obey the love command. Walk by faith. And don't compromise his word. It started from there. Give is your connection to the source. And it began to grow. It began to grow. And it grew. And it grew. And the more it grew, the more I found out, the more I learned. I quit searching other ways. I quit looking for it any other way. I found my airplane in the Bible. With Gloria found our home in the Bible. She found all the furniture in the Bible. She found all of the pictures on the walls in the Bible. We found the water under the ground in the Bible. We dug a well up there in Arkansas in the ground that the guy come out there and he said, you fool for digging here. There ain't no water in that old green dirt. Gloria said, yeah, there he is. No, he said, lady, I'm in the well bed digging business. There ain't no water down there. She said, I'm in the believing business, and the Word of God says my water is sure, and that's where you're supposed to get it. And there's still a well there today, and it is still got water today. He said, oh, damn, look at that. There's water in that old green dirt. Well, he didn't tell me anything I didn't know. He'll be damned. That's the reason he ain't ever found any water in that old green dirt. I don't know. Well, the world weird, ain't it? Think about it. Now, we're created in the image of God.
That's right.
Talking about cursing. Well, the world don't know what the plan is for their speech. So the devil uses it against them. There is no other operation in the earth other than, imagine it, think it, believe it, speak it, and it comes to pass. It's the only system here. And that's what the world does.
That's right.
They worry. Mm-hmm. That's meditation. They worry until they imagine it.
That's right.
Then they believe it. Then they speak it, and it comes to pass. And when it comes to pass, he said, well, I'll be damned. So then he just goes back and does it all over again. Why? Because he's damned. And what's the next thing he said? Well, I'll see y'all next time. The train don't run over before then. Ain't that something? Ain't that funny? You know, it's like I always say, you know, when you start getting old, man, you know, you lose your memory, and then you lose, I can't take what the other one was. How old are you? 31? You got a stupid eating plan. You got a stupid thinking plan. You got a stupid speaking plan. You got a stupid working plan. And it's all the ways of death.
Right.
Think what would happen when God stood up there on the brink of eternity and said, damn, it's dark. Huh? What would have happened? Boy, it'd all been over, wouldn't it? I mean, shit would just blowed up right there. Darkness would have just fell in on itself. That'd have been the end of that. No, he said, light! And light was.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's his plan. And it was good. It's a good plan. So what's in our mouths? The curse or the bless? I'll bless you, man. God, I speak words of life to you. We're supposed to be blessing one. Speaking words of grace to one. Mercy and forgiveness. Oh, I just can't do it, Brother Copeland. I just can't forgive. Well, you ain't going to be forgiven. Have you found the book of Matthew yet? I'd have to do this before I close because this is the last part of the thing that the Lord showed me. Now, look over here. Remember, we found out that Jesus came to bless. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And then the next verse right there in the 24th chapter of Luke said, while he yet spake, he was lifted up. He was blessing them, and the power of the blessing lifted him from this earth. And the last thing he said on this earth was, be blessed and multiply. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and take dominion in my name.
Amen.
And it's the first thing he was saying as he came through the gates of glory and took his place as the last and the forever Adam. In charge of the blessing of Abraham. Why don't preach me happy again? Hallelujah. Yeah. Whoa. That's my food plan, my clothes plan, my house plan, my flying plan, my driving plan. Yeah. My 120-year plan. My eternity plan.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter. Oh, that's Mark. It ain't going to work. It's in Mark, but not to the degree that it is here in the book of Matthew that you need to see. Now, he took what we read in Luke 4:18, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and so forth. Well, what is the gospel? The blessing of Abraham. They were not preaching the blessing in the synagogues.
No.
They were preaching religion. He came in there preaching the blessing. Poor, you don't have to be poor. Sick, you don't have to be sick. God has a plan. And I'm here to bless you. Now, he preached that everywhere he went. Peter said he preached it throughout all Judea. That was his text. Isaiah, what you and I know as 61st chapter. That was his text everywhere he went. Then he taught the anointing, which is the blessing power to remove the curse and open the door for the Garden of Eden to come into your life and affairs. That's God's plan. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. So now that's his text. But then it would manifest and he would begin to teach on how to walk in the blessing. It's here. You've experienced it. Now you need to walk in it and keep it in your life. Fifth chapter of Matthew, sixth chapter of Matthew, seventh chapter of Matthew is all teaching blessing conduct. Look how it begins. Turn there in the fifth chapter. Just it's very plain. Look how it begins. Blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. All the way down through the 11th verse. Blessed. Now, there's been great theological debate over this. These are the Beatitudes. The whatitudes? Oh, the Beatitudes. Okay. These statements are what the rest of this teaching is based on. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not because they're poor. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is blessing in the kingdom of heaven to get rid of spiritual poverty. There's a plan in there for that. Blessed are they which mourn, they shall be comforted. There is a plan in the kingdom of God, in the blessing, to take care of that. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. Well, it ain't automatic. Why? You have to find out the plan of righteousness and so forth. There's a plan in there. You get on it and you be filled. Can you see now what he was doing? And then he comes down. Well, they were supposed to know this, folks. They were the seed of Abraham.
That's exactly
the truth. He demonstrated it. Mm-hmm. They weren't blessed because they're poor. There's a blessing that'll get you out of poverty.
Amen.
There's a plan that God has in the kingdom plan how to break poverty in your life and get out of it. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn over here. Oh, he just teaches and just teaches and just teaches. But there's one here, and I'll have to close with this, and we'll take it up as the Lord leads later. Let's go to the seventh chapter. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure it is the way it's going to be measured back to you. Whatever.
whatever you use to measure and judge other people is exactly the same standard that you have set up with which to be judged. But if you'll judge yourself, you'll not be judged.
Well,
now, you know, now I love Brother Jesse. You know, we love Brother Jesse. And we love Brother Jerry. And we love Brother Kenneth. But this airplane business, I mean, dear God, spend all that money flying around, you know, just... Now, wait a minute. You have set it up where there ain't no way in the world God can bless you with anything like that. You set up the judgment standard. You have kept yourself from ever being used in aviation. You have kept yourself for ever being a part of what God's doing in that realm. Well, I'll tell you right now. That fool gave $100,000 for a car. My God, I could have paid off the church. Now, how is God ever going to bless you?
Yeah. Come on.
You've already set the standard.
Come on.
You've set the standard.
That's right.
And how do you know he paid $100,000 for that car? How do you know he paid anything for that car? How do you know what he sold for that car to come in? You don't. You're just judging.
Amen.
Well, when you do, you've closed off your heart of compassion and you've begun to judge and you have killed the blessing wall in your life. And I'm telling you, the Satan is going to come because their thinking is based in covetousness. Even though he didn't maybe say it like that. Or maybe you just really wasn't even thinking about it. You just said, oh, dear Lord, can you imagine that? Somebody giving $120,000 for a car. Can't imagine such a thing. Well, that's the reason you ain't ever going to have one. Well, I don't know that I'd want one. I really don't need that kind of car. And nobody said nothing about what you need. Well, no, I'll do a couple of them, you know. Let me ask you something. Now, here's a guy that's, I mean, good condition financially. Let's say his net worth is, $500,000? Don't have a lot of debt? Good solid assets. Got a net worth of $500,000. They're doing pretty good, ain't they? Yeah. Well, there's not anything that I can see that in anybody's thinking. I don't care who you are today that would think that man is not going to strain him. He's got good income. He's got a net worth of $500,000 or better, and his home is either paid for or in good shape, and so forth and so on. And he's driving a new Escalade, or he's driving a new Cadillac, he's driving a Mercedes. I mean, that doesn't sound like that's all out of line, does it?
No.
And so, and let's say he's let's say he spent in the neighborhood of $50,000, $60,000 for his car. Well, ain't nobody going to think anything about that. Now, what's the percentage there? He's got a net worth of $500,000, and he spent $50,000 for his car.
Now.
So what's the percentage there?
10%,
right? Now, here's a guy that gave $940,000 for his car. He puts it in a trailer and has it shipped to Detroit to get the oil changed. Oh, John, look at the waste. Can you imagine that guy giving nearly $1 million for a car?
I mean, sends it to Detroit to get the oil change. Well, yeah, you don't want nobody messing with a $1 million car. You sure don't want no two-bit mechanic out there messing around with his $1 million car. His engine's worth more than your house.
Right.
I can understand his thinking.
Yeah.
I don't want you messing with it either. Amen? But you don't understand that. You don't understand his thinking. And you look at him and you say, that is absolutely obscene to give $1 million for a car and spend $15,000, $20,000 getting the oil changed. That's the most obscene thing I ever heard in my life. Think what you could do in the gospel with that. Well, it might be something if that was the end of all the money.
Right.
But now, wait a minute. He gave $1 million for a car, but his net worth is $85 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave $1 million for his car. What's the percentage there? Huh? Now, who's the big spender here? The $50,000 guy.
Right.
He spent 10% of his net worth to get a $50,000 car. This guy spent chump change to get his. See, you ain't got no business judging him. It's none of your business to judge him. And when you spend time thinking about how obscene what he's doing is, you have capped it. You'll never be able to believe God for anything that value. How do you know? Well, you need to test yourself. You've got a screen that you put up over your spirit where there's certain things that you won't let in there. Your choke point. What is it you choke over? The Lord started telling me about that, and he said, when you go to my word and you see it in my word, see, I found that scripture in there, said, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I said, whoa, 41,000 will do, praise God, until they get something better. Well, I got something better. I'm certified to 51,000 now, and looking for hire. Hallelujah. Well, now the people said, they're God. I don't need nothing like that. Well, you ain't going to get nothing like that either.
Thank
Why?
You've
got it choked. You won't let it in there. If it ever gets in there, your spirit will produce it. And I don't care if it's good or bad. If it ever gets in your spirit, it'll produce it.
Thank you.
That's what it does. You sow bad stuff in there, and it'll produce the bad stuff you sow. It'll produce a wonderful Holy Ghost crop, or it'll produce poison and stuff that comes out of the ways of death. But it'll come out of there if you let it in. That's the creative part of you. And you start saying it, it's going to come to pass. So motive is everything here, folks. The background, the bottom, whose plan is this? Your plan or God's? You get in here and find out what you're called to do. And you get in here and clean up your thinking and clean up your prayer life. And I'm ready, Jesus. You call me anywhere in the world. I don't care where it is, what it is. You let me know and I'm on my way. I serve you. My will is gone. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't care what I am. I don't care if I'm a farmer. I don't care. Now, one thing, I ain't going to be no pig farmer. I'm not knocking you if you're in the pig business, but I ain't going to buy food from you.
Come on.
Well, what are pigs for? To get rid of garbage. They're good at it, brother. But they're not good for food. They're good for other things. Why? It's in the plan here. Well, it don't make any sense to me. I know it. That's the reason you got the hives. or whatever else it is. Anyway, I said, Lord, what do you mean here? He said, well, let me ask you this. And he's testing me and showing me how to do it. He said, what would you think about a new fishing boat, a new bass boat? I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can just see God blessing me out there in the middle of that lake, looking good, praise the Lord. I mean, Leroy Thompson decided he's going to get him a boat, and he got him a boat, and they're sitting out in the middle of the lake, and here come this other guy in his boat, and like to sunk Leroy right out. He said, "This ain't nothing but poverty. Get me to the shore." He said, "Poverty, get me out of here." He went right straight downtown and got him a boat, praise God, that nobody on that lake could sink. No. Just by coming by him. This is poverty. Did you hear him saying that? Well, and I could see it, man. Yeah, God bless me. One of them, I won't. Yeah, buddy, I can just see me out there in the middle of that lake. I said, "Well, what about a light cruiser?" I said, "Well, you know, that's all right. I've really never had a big desire for one of them, but there ain't a whole lot wrong with them either. I kind of like the looks of that, you know." Yeah. Now, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Me and Mama out on the deck. No, Mama out on the deck. I'm driving. You know, that's wonderful. I didn't have any trouble with that. Yeah, glory. The Lord said, "What about a 125-foot converted minesweeper, ocean-going, converted warship?" I don't know what I need with one of them. And I caught myself saying it. I just dropped the screen. I couldn't see me with it. I don't mean I want it or desire it. God's testing me. I couldn't see myself with it. And he said, "That's what John Wayne's got." Well, Mr. Wayne could see himself with it. "Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, but John Wayne's a movie star." Well, bless God, I'm a servant of the Most High God. There's some of you right now, I done hit your choke point. Well, now I knew what I had to do. I had to get the choke point out of there. He just used that big ship to get through to me. Jesse was talking about that 747 today. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Ernest Angley. Little Ernest. He's a dear man, and he did. Jesse sounded just like him today, but he had strange ministry methods and all that. But when Ernest said heal, they got healed.
Yeah.
All kinds of miracles in that man's ministry, and he's got a 747. Hallelujah. Well, there ain't no way in the world that I can criticize him. There's no way in the world I can judge him. Because if I do, I'm capped. I'm capped. I can't go any further. What has happened? Babylon, confusion has set in. When God said confusion, it capped that tower, it couldn't get any bigger. It capped that city, it couldn't get any bigger. That Babylon system can only get so high and it begins to cave in. It can't get any bigger. It is capped. And we are limitless. Can you see that? If we get on the limit-free plan, Satan is bound to all that's common to men. And we are loosed to the things that are common to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up and give the Lord praise. I'm telling you, the plan is open. God has a plan. And it's good. And it's yours. Hallelujah. I want to be debt free. God has a plan in His book for you to be debt free. Quit searching the world system about how to get out of debt and get over in the book. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Say first. 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 Seek first the kingdom of God.
There's a plan in there for every need that man could ever have, that all that will provide all of the food for every living thing forever in God's creation. Unlimited. No impossibilities. Get the screen off of there. If you're going to screen out something, screen out the covetousness and the ways of death. And start thinking in the laws of life. Hallelujah. You never had any idea that there was over $1 million in this auditorium coming into those offerings. But I did. I've been seeing it for a long time. Why? Just because I want $1 million? No. Not because I desire a gift. I desire the fruit to abound to your account. To your account. Glory and I back there when we didn't have anything. But we saw it. Praise God. We took our little funny looking clothes and we put them on. Amen. And I told her one afternoon, I said, look here, Gloria, my God, we're the seed of Abraham. And God blessed Abraham with much silver, much gold, and a whole bunch of cattle. Hey, don't you know God give me no gold? He can't. But he can me. I searched the plan until I found it. And I finally found out I was the seed of Abraham. And I said, well, you got my father, my silver and gold. And in this economy, could we make some of it gold? I'm tired of what they're printing up there. I want some real value to it. See, values never change. The numbers go up and down, but the value never changes. Hundred years ago, 1909, 1910, 1920, $20 gold piece would buy the finest suit of clothes in town, a new pair of shoes and a new belt. It still will. That $20 gold piece will buy a $1,000 suit. Yes, sir. Well, I didn't think gold was about 900 or something. I'm talking about a full ounce of gold, but it's in a $20 gold piece, and the coin has value. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, man, you could buy a malt shake, a milkshake or a malt for a dime. When? Oh, 1942, 43, 46, 47. I was 10, 11 years old, you know. If you've got a 1946 dime, it'll still buy a milkshake or the best malt in town. Because that silver dime is worth more than the milkshake. The value has never changed. Politicians have changed the numbers. But the value is still there. And I told Gloria, I said, girl, we're rich now. We're the seed of Abraham. This ain't nothing but a matter of time. Hallelujah. I dropped the screen. I wasn't looking at my clothes. Abraham said, I'm not looking at this old body. Old woman, you don't count neither. We're going to have us a baby. She said, huh? 90 years old. Oh, dear God. He dropped the screen. Wasn't hard for God. It's just hard to get it over to him. Drop that thing. Open it up. My God meets all my needs according to his riches in glory. I am the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Jesus is not only my Lord and my Savior, my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's my Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He receives my tithe and he blesses me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out and I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. My father got much silver and gold. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, silver. Come on, gold. No, I'm not talking about getting it out of my partners. I'm not talking about getting it out of offerings. I'm talking about give and it'll be given unto you again. God has a plan. Amen. No, I'm not dependent on you. I am here to bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory. I'm back there in those early days I'm learning, and I'd get my little money clip up and the offering come by. Don't ever let an offering go by. Oh, man, without sowing seed, this is an opportunity to raise my income. The Lord want me, you want me to put it in there? Put it all in there. do it quick. Don't sit there and think about it. Get it in there. Yes. Amen. Now, what's happening now? I'm about to choke off. I got to have fuel. I got to do this. I got to go there. And there's all my money going off down the hall there. What am I going to do now? My Heavenly Father knows I have need of those things. And the more I meditate on it, the more it casts out the fear. The more it casts out the fear. And finally you get to wait on and think about it. Put it in that offering and start looking for the miracle. Glory to God. It is fun. It is the best way to live. No. You don't go get down at the altar bench. And you want to make sure now you wear your shoes. Got the hole in the bottom. Oh, God. You know I'm living by faith. You know, God, how much I need a new pair of shoes for my preaching suit. Oh, God. Well, I ain't got no time for that. I've seen it. I've been there. I've watched them do it. Yeah, I've been tempted to do it. But no, sir. They're not my source. Take them shoes off and give them to somebody, whole and all, before they cut you completely off. Walk out of there barefooted. I've had the Lord tell me, pull my shoes off and give them to the fellow. While I was preaching, man, I had to finish my message in my sock feet. I don't care. Not anymore. I can't tell you how much I don't care. That's the reason I got good shoes. He knows I have need of shoes. And the stuff starts happening. Well, Brother Copeland, what you need to do is give till it hurts. Scripture, please. Thou shalt give until you're in pain. Then and only then will I bless you. No. No, you give till you're blessed. A hilarious, joyful, not a hurting giver. Oh, yeah, there have been times when it looked like you're going to hurt. Why? Because, I mean, it was so strong that you could tell it went through you. I'm going to tell you something, my brother and sister. That's when you hit the mainstream. That's when you hit the underground river, not just a well. Yeah. And you get a smile on your face, and you think, dear God, man, what is about to happen in this house? We were in a meeting down in Florida. We've been there 21 days. And this woman and her husband invited us over to their home, our whole staff, the whole bunch of us over there. And this was years and years ago, but there's still a number of us there. She invited us all in, and it was just wonderful. They had a really nice place, and he was a doctor, and they had a nice swimming pool out back, and this was the day after the meeting closed. We'd been there for 3 weeks. Over 500 people had come to the Lord in the meeting, and Jerry Savelle had won 500 people out on the beach on his own. So over 1,000 people came in to the kingdom of God through that meeting. Oh, we were so thrilled. And so we got over there, and everybody's so happy, and she's just having a big time. And she got us all in there and said, now, if y'all are going to get any food, you're going to have to believe God, because I've been going to them meetings. I ain't got time to put anything in this house. But she said, Brother Copeland, you said about Mary and Martha that Mary, Jesus said, Mary sat at his feet and heard his word, and only one thing was needful, and nobody could take it away from her. Martha, Martha, you were cumbered about much serving. She said, you said, what would have happened if Martha had come in there and said, I'm not going in that kitchen and cooking while the Son of the Living God is in here preaching the word. Get over, sister. And scooted a bowl of beans across that floor and said, I saw what you did to those loaves and fishes. Now, if you're going to get anything to eat, do some of them beans. But I'm not leaving and you teaching the word. So she said, I've been in the word for 21 days, two or three services a day. They had a bite of food in this house. But she had the table all set and she had a big smile on her face. She said, you better, she's looking at me, and she said, you better start believing God. Well, I got tickled at her, and I said, glory to God, and about that time, big knock on the front door. She went to the door, and there was a guy in the church. He's standing there with a platter full of steaks about this big, and he walked in there. He said, we heard a lot of people coming over here tonight, and we just believe y'all need some food. She said, get yourself in here and head at Doc's out there at the grill now. Ooh, did we eat that night. I'm so glad she didn't get any food. When are you going to start living that way? Well, it's a process. You start now, and you get in the plan. Oh, hallelujah. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it now. That's where the plan is, brother and sister. It's in Him. It's in the manifestation of Him in your life that opens the windows of heaven and He pours out blessing you have no room to contain. Well, I ain't got no quitting place here tonight. But I don't have a lot of quitting sense anyway. I got plans that you ain't ever even dreamed of, saith the Lord. Far beyond your wildest imagination. And I did it just for you. Heaven is overloaded with things that I have prepared for your enjoyment. And if you will just simply come to that place where you just say, God, I'm so grateful, and just give me an opportunity. Become a giver and not a taker. Become a thinker like I think, and I will think through your mind, and I'll see through your eyes, and I'll speak through your lips, and I will give you power within that is far greater than anything you've ever imagined. And oh, the flow. Oh, I need you to help me in these end times to bless and to raise up an army of believers. And you're my key personnel. I don't need you broke. I don't need you sick. I need you healed and well. I've paid for it. Come and get it. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come to the table. I have prepared a table, but in the presence of your enemies. This is not a heavenly feast. You hadn't got any enemies in heaven. This is a feast of abundance. in the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil. Fear not the shadow of death, nor the valley therein. I, your Lord, your Savior, I am the Lord of hosts, and I am the biggest thing in the valley. Have no fear, for the table is full. Come and die. Come and die. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, pass the healing. Pass the debt-free pudding. Yeah. Pass the miracles down here on this end of the table. Come and die. Come and die. Oh, glory. I'll send you to places, and I'll anoint you, and I'll take care of you while you're there. And people will be amazed at the grace that comes out of your mouth and the riches that come through your hands, and whole nations will come to me. Trillions are nothing to me. 747s are nothing to me. Ha, ha, ha. All things were created for and by me, saith the Lord. And I don't need your airplanes up here. My chariot way outclasses that. Have you not seen in my word where my chariot is like the lightning from the east to the west? My stuff moves at the speed of light. Your stuff is extremely slow. But stay with me. You're getting faster. Whoa! Glory, 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 glory. Say it. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Oh, I'm not a doubter. I lift off the choke screen.
I open my heart and mind
for revelation of the plan of heaven. To walk in it. To be in it.
Be part of it.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
On earth.
Through me.
As it is in heaven. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Shout hallelujah. Whoa, glory. Whoa, glory. Whoa, glory. Wow, hallelujah. Whoa. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Then sings my soul.
Sing it with me. Sing it to the
Lord. My Savior God.